Jewish law. He is certainly talked about in Israel and in this country. According to the New York Times, in a piece about him recently, he is one of the most talked about Israeli politicians. This morning we're going to hear from the rabbi, and we're also going to hear from a representative of those in this country who disagree with his views, Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum on the American Jewish Committee. All that after this on WOR Radio 710. I'm Sherry Henry. Of course, everybody remembers we're going to be in Flemington on Wednesday. That is New Jersey Day. Please come out and see us live right there, broadcasting from the town of Flemington. Well, Rabbi Meir Kahane, it's his turn now. He is going to be followed, as I said earlier, by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum. The Jewish leadership of the country does not want to sit in the studio with Rabbi Kahane, so we're setting this up so it's a serial broadcast. Rabbi Kahane was kind enough to come here, and he is first today. Your recent policies, and let me just give a quick quote so everybody knows where we are. I don't say we have to do something about the Arabs. I say we have a problem, and here's my answer: throw them out. Tell the listeners here in this country why you say that.
Because there is a terrible problem. It's a problem that the Jewish leadership, which does not want to sit in the same room with me, simply doesn't want to get across to Jewish people or anyone else. The problem is that the state of Israel was created as a Jewish state. Now, a Jewish state means at a very minimum, a state with a majority of Jews. Otherwise, it's not a Jewish state. For 2,000 years, we suffered as a minority. And so Herzl and other leaders arose and created Zionism, which was, let the Jews have their own country where they can be masters of their own fate and sovereignty. Now, that means a majority. But Western democracy means that it doesn't matter who you are, if you're Jewish or non-Jewish, Jewish, whoever is the majority is the majority. The problem is that the Arabs in Israel are multiplying at a tremendous rate. So the question that I throw out, and this is why Rabbi Tannenbaum won't sit in this room with me, because I would turn and ask him this question. You, as a Democrat, would you be prepared to allow the Arabs, through democracy, through coexistence, through peacefully, and through Judaism, as you see it, to be the majority and do away with a Jewish state through babies rather than bullets? So I say no. I say no. If there is a contradiction, and there is, then after 2,000 years, I choose Zionism. I choose a Jewish state, and I want the Arabs out. I don't hate Arabs. I love Jews.
Rabbi, there's another way, isn't there? You can take the occupied territories and work out the Camp David Accords and somehow or other allow those Palestinians their own land, and then they won't be voting members of the State of Israel, and you won't be outnumbered.
Well, leaving
aside,
and
you can use the rule of law to do it instead of picking people up and throwing them out.
Let me first of all say that if I did move the Arabs out, it would only be through the rule of law. It would only be through a Knesset law. Nevertheless, what you say would seem to be logical, but there's only one problem. Leaving aside the tremendous dangers that this would leave Israel in, having an Arab state with a tiny Israel, whose coastline is now 12 miles wide, and trusting to the Arab ethics and kindness, such as we see daily in Beirut, the fact of the matter is that they would remain inside Israel some 750,000 Arabs who have no intention of going anywhere. They consider that country theirs. And every day one hears in the Galilee, the northern part of the state of Israel, autonomy for the Galilee, we would save 20 years, we would save 30 years, but in the end, we're up against the same problem. There is going to be a Northern Ireland in Israel within 5 years. We have Jews killed now every single week. We'll have Jews killed every single day. And more than that, we'll have Arabs killed. And I don't want to kill Arabs, and I don't want them to kill Jews. I want them out, living in any one of their 22 countries. That's all I ask. Give us our one country.
Well, you want to do it, as you say, by the rule of law. You would have the Knesset pass a bill. How would you do that? Where would you oust them to?
To Jordan. Jordan, for all practical purposes, today has an overwhelming majority of what you call Palestinians, or Arabs who fled Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, the West Bank. I would move them to the East Bank of the Jordan. Jordan itself is an illegitimate state. The East Bank of the Jordan was originally given by the League of Nations as part of the Jewish state at the time of Balfour. The British violated international law, ripped away that East Bank, created a puppet state. And even so, I accept that. Just let them live there. I truly wish them well.
Suppose the state of Jordan says we don't want them here.
I'm not going to ask them.
But you're going to pass a bill and just ship them over?
We'll hold the bridges for 3 days, and we'll ship them over. Just as the Poles and the Czechs expelled 12 million ethnic Germans in 1945, after they learned, to their horror, in the late 30s, what a fifth column is inside their midst, and they expelled 12 million from Silesia and Sudetenland and Danzig, no one ever cried out about that except the Germans. But the world ratified it at Potsdam. Truman, Attlee, and Stalin ratified it.
Rabbi Kahane, what's the difference in doing what you suggest doing and South Africa throwing out its majority of blacks and saying out of the country, the Catholics being thrown out of Northern Ireland, the Jews being thrown out, in effect, of a number of countries in Europe during the 30s?
Yeah, well, I'm quite sure that Rabbi Tannenbaum, who has no answer to what I... to the problem that I've raised, will of course raise this question. And of course there's a tremendous difference. First of all, South Africa. It's not the homeland of the whites. The whites came there 200 years ago, 250 years ago, to an area which is a black country. They have no right to throw anyone out. In Northern Ireland, no one is throwing anyone out.
No, I'm suggesting it might solve their problem,
yes,
or some people might think it would solve their problem.
However, the Roman Catholics and the Protestants have equal rights to that country, since both come from the same people, the same language. They're exactly the same in everything except in their faith. In the case of Israel...
How about in the case of the Jews during the 30s? Didn't they have a right to stay?
Of course they had a right to stay, because they didn't... The Jews in Germany did not say, when we become the majority, we'll take this country back. The Jews of Germany merely wanted to be the best Germans possible. But the Arabs, and let's respect the Arabs claim it's their country. The Arabs claim that the Jews stole it from them. We say, no, we lived there long before they were Arabs. And we were driven out of our country 2,000 years ago. And not for one day did Jews cease to pray three times daily to go back to that country. We came back to our country to find a people in it who claims that we are thieves and who dreams of the day when they would drive us out. That's the tremendous difference. The Arabs have 22 countries. If when Hitler drove the Jews out, the Jews would have had their own country, well, that would have been different. We had no place to go. And above all, the Jews of Germany wanted nothing better than to be good citizens of a Germany, whereas the Arabs... Do you think that there's one Arab in Israel who delights in living in a country which is officially called the Jewish state, which has a law of return which is passed not by Kahane, but by Ben-Gurion, which applies to Jews only, whose Independence Day celebrates the Arab defeat, whose national anthem speaks of the soul of a Jew yearning? Of course not. I understand the Arab. It's liberals who have contempt for him.
Rabbi Kahane, the Knesset has now passed what has been called the racism bill, and we know now that that is designed to outlaw people who incite others to racism and who negate Israel's democratic character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it goes along with a 3-year jail term, I believe. What is going to happen to you if you keep saying the things you're saying, which certainly...
Well,
seem to fall into this category? Do you expect to go to jail?
No, I don't expect to go to jail. I expect to be in the next Knesset with about 15 to 20 seats, as most polls show now.
How do you get past the bill?
Well, first of all, it is a bad bill in terms of legally being constructed. It doesn't define racism. What in the world does racism mean in a bill which doesn't define it? It can mean anything. To me, racism is a very simple concept. Racism says that I am better than you, and you can never be as good as I. Judaism says if any non-Jew wishes to convert and become Jewish, he is as good as I am. That's not racism. In fact, in the next election...
But if you don't convert to Judaism, you are not as good as I am.
Right, and the Pope surely believes that if you don't, that if you're not a Roman Catholic, you aren't as chosen. And I would imagine that every faith believes that it has truth. Otherwise, it isn't faith. When Catholics and Jews argue, it isn't like the Mets and the Yankees. That's, I think you're right.
Are you a racist?
Of course not. In fact, I would vote for any anti-racist bill which would define it properly.
Well, another definition of racism is not allowing other people the rights and privileges.
And that's not true. The state of Israel was created and is defined as a Jewish state. Is that racism? According to your definition, it is. According to the UN, it is. So I think that when they passed this bill quickly, and it was passed by people who were more afraid of my taking votes from them than out of any principle, they made a tremendous mistake. They opened that door wide to confirming what the UN said.
So what are your plans? What are your future political plans? How do you plan to get elected again with this law on the books?
Well, first of all, I think that you don't know what that bill says, and I haven't met anybody here that has. There's a third ban in that bill, and that is anyone who doesn't recognize the Jewish character of Israel. Now consider carefully the insanity of that bill. On the one hand, it says someone who doesn't recognize the Jewish character of Israel cannot run and will go to prison for 3 years. And someone who doesn't believe that Arabs have the same rights to be the majority will be banned. I tell you that under this bill, no party can possibly run. It's just an insane
What are you going to do, in other words, take your problem to the courts?
Of course, but more than that, we are simply going to take our platform, and for every single paragraph, we're simply going to take a verse from the Bible or a portion of the Talmud. If they want to declare Judaism racism, let's see them do that.
Rabbi Kahane, let's say you can get around this bill through the laws. Let's say you can. What are your personal plans? Do you want to be prime minister? Do you intend to take over the Likud as the party of the right? I mean, what do you want to do?
I want to save the Jewish people from themselves.
Are you the Messiah of the state of Israel?
Of course not, of course. Now, isn't that a foolish... With all due respect, that's a foolish question.
Well, I say that because that's what your supporters call you.
No, I don't think that that's true. I think that Begin was also called that in the heat of... ecstasy, exultation. I think if you listen to some people speak about John F. Kennedy, my God, he borders on it. I think that people tend to, especially in our times, need father images and need guides because there are no leaders. So of course I want to be the prime minister. Of course.
Do you have a timetable?
No. I would like to be one tomorrow. But I'm not a prophet, so I would assume that in this next election we'll be a very strong third largest party in Israel. No nationalist government can be formed without the Kach movement, which is my party.
Well, sir, is it possible that because of your strong appeals to a radical right solution here and the expulsion of all the Arabs, that you might force the state of Israel to do what it has been unwilling to do so far, and that is peaceably settle the problem of the occupied territories? In other words, might not you be working against yourself by forcing Israel to come to a solution?
First of all, why do we use these labels? I use a radical right. Maybe it's a radical left solution. Maybe it's a radical middle solution. It isn't a radical anything. I pose for you a certain problem. Don't call it names. There's a problem. What is the solution? I said, this is the solution. If you don't like it, don't call it radical or right or center. Say, I don't like it and I have a better one. And then if I hear a better one, I'll be happy to adopt that. Secondly, peace will not come to Israel. Because the problem that I raise has nothing to do with the West Bank, and I thought that I had made that clear. The problem has to do with the Arabs who live inside the state of Israel, who will become gradually one-third of the country and 40% of the country, and then a majority of the country. It has nothing to do with the West Bank. The West Bank saves us 20 years, 25 years. That is our problem. And I do hope that when you speak to Jewish leaders on this program, just ask them a question. according to you, do the Arabs, in theory, and don't let them get away from it by saying it'll never happen, in theory, do they have a right to be the majority? That's the problem. That's the problem. Peace will not come to Israel because the problem is not Meir Kahana. I didn't start the 1948 war, or the 56 war, or the 67 war, or the 73 war. The problem lies in the existence of the state of Israel per se. And there are no Arab moderates. There are two kinds of Arabs, clever ones and stupid ones. And the so-called moderate ones are clever. They mean what the extremists say, but they don't say it.
Rabbi Kahane, I have time because we've decided to give equal time here just for one more question. I certainly will ask Mark Tenenbaum whether or not he thinks the Arabs have a right to be a majority in the state of Israel. But your last question, you haven't liked a couple of my other ones, you're not going to like this one either. If you take some of the main characteristics of your policies, appeal to violence in certain instances to handle the problem, some would say a contempt for the rule of law, you disagree with that. Calls for expulsion of a certain group, though, that's something we would agree on. And even the use of uniformed squads to accompany you, some would say that has a Hitlerian appeal. Do you see any similarity between
no,
you and...
No. For example, you said appeals to violence. I can't imagine any people in any country, in any faith, in anyone who doesn't appeal to violence sometimes when it feels it's necessary. During World War II, we certainly didn't throw flowers at the Germans. And you
so does that mean you intend to appeal to violence
no,
in the future?
No, I think violence is a terrible thing if it isn't needed. I think it's a necessary thing if it is needed. And as far as the other things are, it's incredible. I certainly, our people don't work on uniforms. They have T-shirts. Every youth group in Israel has uniforms. Every single one has uniforms. Boy Scouts have uniforms. These show, it is a uniform which shows a certain kind. We are members of this and this group. We don't want violence. Quite the opposite. If I were the Prime Minister of Israel, not one Arab would ever be injured in Israel because they wouldn't be there. But if they stay there, they'll be killed by Jews, and they'll kill Jews. Is that what you want?
Sir, is it possible that there's going to be bloody outbreaks between Jews, amongst Jews, moderate Jews and radical Jews?
That's,
and is that what you want?
No, that's a terrible term. We have never in Israel begun any physical violence against Jews, ever, no matter what the newspapers say. But last Monday in Givatayim, town near Tel Aviv, I was stoned by members of leftist groups, and I was hit here on the ear, and you can see it. Now, that wasn't in the papers here, but had we gone and had we done that to some group, my God, what the New York Times would have said. Now, I don't want to ever lift my hand against the Jew, but I want you to know that the question that you just asked is the most painful of all questions. They want to lift hands against us. And if you want to know what McCarthyism is, well, the senator from Wisconsin had nothing on the left in Israel. There was incitement to kill Meir Kahane every single day.
Are you afraid?
Of course I'm afraid. I don't sit worrying about it. Of course not. I mean, I do my thing. But no. That's what's happening in Israel. When someone gets up in there with this outrageous analogy between Kahane and Adolf Hitler, it's an outrageous thing. Certainly there were 10,000 young leftists who suddenly deem it to be a great, great commandment, perhaps, to eliminate Kahane. The incitement is terrible, and I would hope that Rabbi Tenenbaum will come out against that, too.
I'll ask him.
Okay, thank you.
Rabbi Meir Kahane has been with us for the first half of the program. Coming back with the Rabbi Tannenbaum, I'm Sherry Henry. It's WOR Radio 710.
Did you know?
And that's where you are at 710 on your AM dial. I'm Sherry Henry. You've been hearing Rabbi Meir Kahane explain why he thinks the Arabs ought to be thrown out of the State of Israel. Rabbi Mark Tenenbaum, Director of International Relations for the American Jewish Committee, has been listening, and he's here to comment. Let me go straight to the heart of what he said. We won't waste any time, Rabbi Tenenbaum. He says, ask the rabbi Do you want the Arabs to be a majority in the state of Israel? And if you do, and they are, how do you handle it?
Well, I think the formulation of it is misleading, and it's intended to feed the fears of a Jewish community that doesn't want to think about reality. That's like asking the question of whether the United States will ever become a Jewish society. The plain fact of the matter is that the overwhelming majority of the people of the United States are Christian. Roughly 220, 230 million people in the United States. The United States will always be a Christian society by virtue of that fact. And the fact remains that the state of Israel has only a minority population of Arab of 17%. There's been a great deal made about the growth of Arab population in Israel, and that if given full citizenship and free rights to vote in the parliament, that the Arabs one day will become the majority and take over the Jewish state and convert it into whatever Arafat or others wanted to do. But the plain social statistics simply don't support that. There's a study done by Miron Beveniste, a former deputy mayor of Jerusalem, who at one time was concerned about that problem, who indicated that the population rate of growth, while somewhat higher on the part of the Arab population, both within Israel and on the West Bank, has stabilized, and that in fact that this is an inflated threat, purpose of which is to incite Jews to fear and to look to Meir Kahane as their Messiah, who's going to save them from a cataclysm of Arabs overwhelming the society.
Well, if the statistics don't support it, let's just take a theoretical situation and say that within 20 years you could have a majority. The question still exists, doesn't it? Is it possible for the state of Israel to have a majority of Arabs as the democracy it is and still be a Jewish state?
Well, I don't like to yield to that kind of theoretical speculation because I think that it creates the contradiction that I don't think the vast majority of the people of Israel or the Jewish community wants to deal with. Namely, that in order to establish and maintain a Jewish state, that somehow it must be an anti-democratic state. I think that is simply an unacceptable thesis to the overwhelming majority of the Israeli people and the American Jews. Theoretically, if one were to speculate, like science fiction, one were to speculate that through democratic processes, that the Arab population of Israel, which now numbers some 700,000, and a population of some nearly 4 million Jews in Israel, that if someday it were to overwhelm, outdistance the population, the Jewish population of Israel, were to go through the democratic process and were able to elect a majority of people in the Congress, in the Knesset, etc., and theoretically one would have to accept that possibility. But the alternative possibility is worse. The notion that to have a Jewish state, it must be somehow a kind of either South African apartheid state, or it must be a fascist state, in which the rights of all citizens, in fact, it would contradict the very Declaration of Independence of the State of Israel, whose first assertion is that all citizens of Israel, regardless of race, ethnic origin, tribal relationship, are regarded as full equal citizens. And the plain fact of the matter is, the other side of the issue, while I think that there's enough truth in what Rabbi Kahane says, and that there are many Arabs who feel that Palestine, Israel, is their country, and that is the heart of the problem. It is the heart of the problem. The fact that there are Arab rejectionist states who refuse to accept Israel's existence and want to try to liquidate the state, I think that's the basis of Kahane's appeal. The fact that that goes on regularly. But the plain fact of the matter is that the vast majority of the Arab citizens of Israel live in full equality in the state of Israel today with political, economic, and all other kinds of opportunities. That their quality of their life is vastly superior to that of Arabs in surrounding states, and by and large live in very good and amicable relationships with the vast majority of their people. And I'm not talking theoretically. I have been to Arab villages in Afula and in that area. I have seen Arabs working together with Jews. There's a program called Interns for Peace, where young Arabs and young Jews in Israel are working together to try to improve the quality of life of both of their people in their villages. And are committed, loyal citizens to the state of Israel. Therefore, I think it's a matter of not allowing this rhetoric, which really becomes demagogic rhetoric. You select a part of the truth and inflate it into a caricature, and then use that caricature to inflict fear on the part of the people for the purpose of allowing Mayor Kahana, as he said, to become the Prime Minister of Israel.
Well, sir, do you think that the racism bill is the best way to deal with him? I mean, now you have a situation where either the bill will work as it has been passed and proposed and passed, and indeed he will go on and say what he says and will be jailed. That's if the bill works, right? And what, turned into a martyr for the cause? I mean, what is the logical conclusion now of the racism bill?
Well, Sherry, there are several things to say. First of all, Rabbi Kahana presents himself in the most moderate tones today and sounds very reasonable. The fact of the matter is that since he settled in Israel in 1971, he's been arrested more than 20 times. He served 3 months in prison under the Preventive Detention Act of 1981. One of the reasons for the adoption of this latest bill against racism has to do with the fact that his followers, the Kach Party, in Kiryat Arba, recently introduced a law into the municipality of Hebron and Kiryat Arba, which called for the firing of all of the Arabs working for the municipal government and replacing them with Jewish citizens. And the Attorney General of the State of Israel, in light of this law which was adopted, made the following statement. The open racism of this accord, without shame and cover, threatened the principle of equality before the law, threatened the entire judicial system, the social establishment, the democratic system, and the cultural life in Israel. And that law was nullified. And some of his own followers in Gush Emunim, when they recognized what a betrayal this is of the democratic character of Israel, in fact, nullify the law themselves, finally. But Kahana supported this. And those measures, and Kahana walking down the streets after the day after his election, leading a crowd and screaming death to the Arabs, so outraged and terrified Jews in Israel as to what this man was leading to, that has led to this sense that something has got to be done. There's now another measure in Parliament, which is to take away his parliamentary immunity. In December of last year, a measure was passed which does not allow him to go to Arab communities because he has been creating incitement to violence, verbal violence which precedes physical violence. And the government of Israel and the people of Israel who are committed to democratic values, out of the depths of Jewish tradition, not just because they're secular Democrats, out of the depths of respect for life and respect for social peace, have refused to go along with what Kahana stands for. He talks about how he's going to have so many more seats in the Knesset. There are a variety of polls. And one of the most recent polls shows that, in fact, while he may have increased some interest, which among young people especially, mainly because of the great frustration over Jordan and the PLO, and the fact there's a sense that they really don't want peace, that he will get some enlarged vote among the younger population. But there is nothing in terms of what he is claiming for himself, in terms of vastly enlarged support in Israel.
Well, do you think then that the racism bill is proper and that he should be, if he continues to say what he does, jailed? Is that the best way to handle it?
Well, I think that there is, both on the law books of the United States, all Western constitutional democracies, laws against incitement to violence. Laws against preaching hatred, which can lead to violence and disturbance of the public order. It's altogether appropriate for Israel to adopt that bill, especially in light of the actualities of what this man has been doing in Israel.
Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum, we're coming back, everybody. I'm Sherry Henry. This is WOR Radio 710. Information that Vincent Price spoke about, call 1-800-551-7800. 1-800-551-7800. I'm Sherry Henry with Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum from the American Jewish Committee. We're still commenting on the comments of Rabbi Meir Kahana, who was here the first half of the program. The possibility, is it one, of Jews fighting Jews in Israel because of this incitement to racism and this incitement to violence, particularly because, too, that the supporters of Rabbi Meir Kahana seem to be the very young who are frustrated and who don't perhaps see another way out. Can you see the possibility of blood being shed among Jews?
We're very much concerned about what is going on between the Orthodox groups and the non-Orthodox groups in Israel, especially the left-wing secular groups. I've been following some of the debates in the Knesset, and both sides now are talking about a civil war, a war of fratricide, brother against brother. Kahana recently wrote a column in which he predicted that there was going to be a civil war. He said he would like to stop it. But his method of stopping it during the course of a recent debate in the Knesset, which was reprinted in the Jewish press, he called a member of the Knesset an anti-Semitic roach. Of course, they returned the compliment. Israel has a very real problem in terms of democratic method, process, that is to say, learning how to disagree agreeably, learning civil debate, civil discourse. And Rabbi Kahana, while he sounded so moderate and reasonable in this discussion here, when you look at what he does in the Knesset and the way he organizes marches and confrontations in front of Arab villages and in front of other Jewish groups, is inciting to violence daily, regularly in Israel. The people of Israel are not mobilizing, nor is the government mobilizing to deal with his threat. Because he's a nice moderate man is being misunderstood. They see him assaulting the basic democratic institutions, the basic civil quality of an open democratic society, that he is exploiting democracy for non-democratic purposes. I think he's doing that in the United States as well.
Well, that's why is he here, in your opinion?
Well, it's clear he's come to this country to build, first of all, political support for his program in Israel. He's also here to raise funds for the next elections. He's not the only person who does that. I mean, people from all kinds of countries do that, including Israel. But this is a fundraising campaign for his own political purposes in Israel, and that is why all of the major Jewish organizations affiliated with the National Jewish Community Relations Advisory Council made a decision last week to issue a joint statement on behalf of the whole of American Jewry, repudiating his policies, his fanatical ideological policies, and his violent undemocratic methods. We want the Jewish communities around the country to know that when he comes to a community asking for support of his policies and asking for financial support, that they better know what they're buying with that package and know in detail how much violence and how much of a threat to democracy he represents in the state of Israel.
Well, regardless of how much money he raises or doesn't raise for his future elections, what do you think the kind of rhetoric that he is espousing will do to your support in Congress and among non-Jews in America?
Well, I think members of Congress know exactly what he represents. I mean, they're all very sophisticated people. They see versions of Kahana in other countries that we deal with. They see problems of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, and they know that Mubarak represents that government and not the Muslim Brotherhood. There are very close relationships between Prime Minister Peres, Shamir, Rabin, and Ahrens, and members of Congress. I think they have a pretty good grip on who Kahana is and what he represents, and there'll be no confusions about that. If anything, they will want to strengthen Israel's democracy, strengthen Israel's economy, so that a demagogue cannot exploit the frustrations which grow out of a difficult economy for his own political reasons.
Well, that's certainly one of the underlying reasons for frustration today, is that very difficult economy. But another is the lack of action with the occupied territories and those 3 million Arabs who are sitting there in limbo. I'll ask you the same question I asked Rabbi Kahani. Is it possible that because of him and his rhetoric and the possibility of violence that you both speak of, is it possible that it will move the Israeli government to finally begin to do something about this state of limbo that has existed so long? Well, wouldn't that be one way of getting rid of his influence within the government?
Sherry, the Mayor Kahana is far more a creation of the PLO than he is a creation of the Jewish people and the State of Israel. The refusal of the PLO and Arab rejectionist states to move seriously toward a negotiated peace settlement with Israel is the reason that Mayor Kahana is possible. People who, after all, have lived all their lives, young people fighting five wars since 1948, have reached an enormous sense of frustration. Many of them are open to Kahani's appeal that the Arabs are your enemies unto death, and the only way to deal with them is to kill them, drive them out, etc. So that, in a sense, it's Arab extremism that has bred the Jewish extremism of Mayor Kahana. And I think that's what has to be focused on. The fact remains that the PLO, to this day, with all the talk of moderation, is still killing innocent Jewish men, women, and children week after week after week. And the fact that the government of Israel has not been able to defend against that has made it all the more possible for Kana to appeal to extremist elements or even frustrated elements in Israel. I think that the issue that we have to face is that the peace process must be continued. The games that are being played now by King Hussein of Jordan trying to smuggle in the PLO directly into negotiations is it will not work, and that we will have to continue it. The important thing to realize is that we're not going to have an instant peace pact. I mean, part of the frustration is simply mounted when we begin to feel we can get a quick fix. I think the issues of peace initiatives are on the right track. It's going to take a long period of time to find the right elements to put them together. The real question now is on the back of the Arab leadership. If Hussein is really seriously interested, he could sit down tomorrow and work out the terms with Israel. But Hussein has never had the courage to do that. Sadat said he never had the courage. And the tragedy is there's no Arab leadership to really sit down and negotiate peace with, aside from what Mubarak and Egypt represent.
Coming back. Listening, everybody. Back tomorrow, as usual, after the 10 o'clock news. Ken Dolan comes along now, and, of course, you're listening to WOR, Radio 710.
We're willing to sit down and talk, and our initiative is quite complete in terms of our ideas on how negotiations might proceed and different aspects of a negotiation on the different issues that we're under.